So today, the Midday Show has You Just Made the List at noon every Friday. And I put Ryan Porth on the list, and he needed to be put on the list because yesterday I was telling Ryan about how I was going to the Sounds game. And Ryan, you know, it was just, we were talking about it. But as I was leaving the Sounds game last night, me and my friends ran into Ryan and his friends. Mm-hmm. So Ryan was at the Sounds game and didn't tell anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, had Ryan not made my list, I'll tell you who else was going to be second. Floyd Reese.
What did I do?
Yesterday, we went over each position group of the Titans, and you liked every position group. You had three choices, like, don't like, and question mark. And Floyd Reese said he liked every position group on the Titans except for wide receivers, which he gave a question mark to. That, to me, was just a little too close to the heart for me. It's a little too local homer
Bobo.
Of you for me.
Bobo-ism.
It was a total Bobo. I just, unbelievable. So anywho, the Titans take on the Bucks, and I've seen some concerning things at practice when they took on the Bucks, and I'm kind of interested to see how that looks tomorrow night in the game, which of course is on News 2 tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Corey Curtis will be on the call with News 2, and he joins us now on the show. Corey, what have you gotten out of practice from the Bucks that you're looking forward to in the game tomorrow?
Well, I think the Bucks challenged them, number one. And so I think the Titans, you know, they had to look in the mirror and realize that they had some work to do. So I think it was a benefit from that, absolutely. But I'm looking at the receiver matchups on both sides of the field in this one. I want to see what Corey Davis can do in a game on the Titans side. I want to see if, you know, Nick Williams can build on what he's been doing, because he's going to have to if he's going to make this team. And I want to see Tajae Sharpe, you know, as he comes back. He did catch a big touchdown against Indianapolis his rookie year on a nice play-action pass, and he did have a big game in San Diego as the Titans tried to rally from being way down. He has played big for this football team, but he hasn't played in a year, so we've got to see that. And then on the other side, the challenge for the Titans' DBs is great with Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson, and this is a chance to respond to last week for those guys. So I'm looking at those DB wide receiver matchups on both sides of the ball.
At practice, one of my takeaways yesterday was I'm a little concerned with how I felt the Bucs' defensive line penetrated the Titans' offensive line. What did you see in Green Bay, and what did you see in the practices with the Bucs?
Well, you know, I mean, everything is so vanilla now in these games. You know, it's man on man, and when you see Jason Pierre-Paul come in, look, I'll put it this way: when practice ended on Wednesday, Taylor Lewan, who is normally very amenable to doing interviews, took one look at us and did a U-turn and headed the other direction and left.
Oh.
He wasn't happy. He was not happy. And then I went out and watched him Thursday, and I know he didn't win every battle, but when they went full team, first three or four plays, he took it to him, and he talked about it. So those guys are going to be ready and waiting for each other on Saturday night. Look, you want to be challenged this time of the year because that's what's going to make you get better. I asked Corey Davis that very question. Were the defeats in practice more valuable than the victories? And he said, absolutely. I come out here every day with the attitude that I am going to work so hard that eventually I'm going to put myself in position to fail at something, because that's when I get better, because I don't want to repeat that.
Corey, after we saw the 2 days of practice, now getting ready for the game, what did you see the 2 days in practice that you either want to continue, that is something that we did well, or that you want to see corrected, something that maybe didn't go so well?
Well, I mean, I liked what I saw from Corey Davis. The confidence, the work, the effort, I think those things were all, you know, very good from him. And again, you know, with the DBs, they struggled a little bit that first day, especially, you know, with those Bucs receivers. And, you know, I don't think we're necessarily seeing the Titans play the defense completely like we're going to see it in the regular season, but they've got to be physical. I mean, Mike Evans is a big physical guy, and they've got to be ready to go physical with him. And I know Logan Ryan is a guy who's ready to do that. And then you saw Adoree Jackson step it up the next day. What, do you have three interceptions yesterday?
And a couple of backflips.
Yeah, and I want to see him take that to the game field, because he had zero interceptions last year. So I want to see that elevation from Adoree continue on the game field Saturday night.
Whose do you see when you look at the safety position? We know Byard's going to be the one. Do you see Vaccaro being the other guy?
You know, Floyd, I wish I could tell you I was smart enough to tell you Terrell, Vaccaro, which one should be out there, which one shouldn't. I just know this. Vaccaro's a first-round player, and he's played a ton of football the last few years. That puts him in the lead to me, but I'm going to leave the talent evaluators to tell you which one is actually going to be out there, because for me to be able to say I've seen enough of either of these guys to make that call, I can't do it at this point.
Corey Curtis, News 2, our guest. He'll be on the sidelines for tomorrow night's Titans-Bucks game. What is the number one thing that you'd like to see out of the Tennessee Titans tomorrow?
The number one thing I'd like to see out of the Tennessee Titans? Well, the number one thing is always the same number one thing. Keep Marcus Mariota healthy, because that's the most important thing they're going to do this year. You know, I think you've got to break it up on both sides of the ball, because you guys know the score doesn't mean much in this football game. I thought Marcus looked really comfortable in that one drive at Green Bay. When this game is over and he plays three or four drives, I want to still feel like he and the offense were as comfortable doing what they were doing in that game when this one is over. Because you remember last year in the Jets game, they looked awful and they didn't look comfortable and they couldn't run the football. And then they come out the next week and we're like, well, they'll get that fixed. And they didn't get it fixed, and it was a struggle all season long, right? I mean, that running game was really inconsistent all year long. So I want to see him consistently, you know, build on that. And then defensively, I've got my eyes on Harold Landry. I saw him do it against the backup tackles for Green Bay. I want to see him do it against the starting tackles for Tampa. Take that game to the next level and be a difference maker.
We all know, you know, backup quarterbacks and what they are and who they are and what to expect. After Marcus with Gabbard and Falk, where are you on your concern-o-meter?
I'll put it to you this way. I'll put another 100 on top of Jarrett's 1,000, because Gabbard is going to play a lot tomorrow night.
Ooh. Ah, okay. So you like my how I am hammering that Tampa's going to win tomorrow.
You know, I mean, Gabbard struggled so much. And, you know, you go and you watch him in practice, and you see him make throws, and he certainly looks the part, but then there's just way too many times when he just looks uncomfortable and unsure. Not all backups are created equal. Ryan Fitzpatrick, for all of his flaws, is a backup who can come in and win football games.
Mm-hmm.
I am not confident at this point, from what I've seen, that Blaine is going to be that guy for the Titans. But the preseason is all about taking the next step. And maybe tomorrow night he greases the wheel a little bit, things speed up for him, and he looks better, because he needs to at this point. Because if he's going to have the confidence of those other guys on offense, he needs to do better than he did in Green Bay.
Corey Curtis, News 2, our guest on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's your hot take this week, Corey?
Tajae Sharpe.
My
man. Tajae Sharpe. No, you know what? I like Tajae. I don't know if he's a one. He's not a one, and I don't know if he's a two, but he's going to help the Tennessee Titans. And I don't know if Nick Williams is going to make this team or not, but all I know is this. I watched him work some DBs on Thursday, and that little guy can play for me anytime, because I just love guys who don't look the part but are the part. And so far, he's been the part for the Titans.
Corey, I tried to tell Floyd, because I was standing with you at practice on Thursday.
Thank you, Corey. Appreciate you being on the show.
I tried to tell him. I go, Marcus, with Delaney out and Rishard Matthews out, Marcus was, where's Davis number one? Where's Nick Williams number two? And he was throwing the ball to Nick. And, like, I know, I get it that everybody sits there and says, and by everybody I mean Floyd, Floyd sits there and says, you know, well, Nick Williams hasn't caught this many balls. And Nick Williams,
he's absolutely right. And when you talk to Titans coaches, they kind of give you the feeling that they think he's just a guy. He may be just a guy, but he's the only other guy who's catching balls. And he's the only other guy who I see who can get open on his own. Now, that could be who he's playing against. I don't know. That's what's got to show itself in these preseason games. Is it a mirage or is it reality? Because as Floyd's saying, the first 4 or 5 years of his career would show you that it's a mirage. But we've seen guys develop over time, and maybe he's in the right situation now. I don't know. If you're the Titans, you hope he's not, because if he's not, I mean, you hope to have Matthews. You hope to have Sharp. You hope to have – these are supposed to be the guys. If you're relying on Nick Williams, you're relying on option five.
Oh, no, I'm with you. I mean, you're not going to win a lot if you're relying on Nick Williams. I think that they do – I think Marcus trusts him, and that is the one thing that I can't say about some of these other guys right now.
That's the word that's come up with when I've talked to Marcus and with Mike Vrabel today, is that developing trust with Nick Williams to be in the right place at the right time and to catch the football.
I love it. Corey Curtis, News 2. We will see you on the sidelines tomorrow night. Titans Buccaneers on News 2. Corey, we'll see you then.
That's right.
Thanks, Corey.
Great game, guys. Thanks.
Corey Curtis, News 2, and we will see him tomorrow night on the broadcast. What'd you think about what he said about little Nick Williams there, the great Nick Williams? What did you think about that?
Super.
Will you say that he's going to make the team yet?
No.
I don't think Floyd thinks Nick Williams is going to make the team until Nick Williams makes the team. This is the one thing that I am ecstatic about, the second preseason game being over with, other than the $4,800 that I'm going to have. But the thing that I am absolutely ecstatic about is that next week we get to do Floyd's first 53-man roster. And I wonder who's going to make it. And I would be shocked if he puts Nick Williams on his 53-man roster. And I would be shocked if Nick Williams doesn't make the 53-man roster. So there you have it.
You'll be shocked if he doesn't make it?
Shocked if he doesn't make it.
Shocked?
If he does not make the roster. He will make the roster.
But you said shocked.
I'll be shocked if he doesn't.
Right.
Am I supposed to not be shocked if he doesn't?
I think you probably need to start preparing yourself a little bit.
If he doesn't make the roster and they keep some bum like Harry Douglas instead.
He is Harry Douglas. What are you talking about?
He is not Harry Douglas.
He is Harry Douglas.
He is not Harry Douglas.
The only reason he's here is because he played for Malarkey and
LaFleur.
I'm saying same thing. Yeah,
I mean,
same
deal.
He played for him before. That's the only reason he's here.
I stand by what I
said. Harry.
Coming up next, I have a theory. There's a big sports story that's out, but I have a theory about the city of Nashville and how they feel about this big sports story that just came out. We'll get to that coming up next. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game on a Fireball Hot Take Friday and streaming on the Game Nashville app.